Yeah, we're continuing our series, Atomic Brain Invasion, and this series is about an invasion. It's an invasion that's otherworldly. It's an invasion that steals joy, peace, hope. It's an invasion of the mind, and it's a supernatural invasion. You know, Paul writes this, and he says, "We are not fighting against humans. We're fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world." It is a fight. It's a war. It's a spiritual invasion. And the Apostle Paul encourages Christ followers to resist the invasion. He says this in 1 Peter. He says, "Beloved, remember you do not belong in this world. You're resident aliens living in exile." This world is not our home. We are aliens, citizens of heaven, and therefore we are to live differently. We're to see things differently. We're to think differently. Therefore, we have alien minds, not like UFO stuff, okay? But heavenly minds. And this series is really a call to protect your mind. Protect it from the spiritual invasion. You know, Solomon writes this. He says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." What you think about matters. You know, we've been talking about protecting our minds, you know, from thoughts that steal, kill, and destroy. And today we're focusing on an extremely destructive thought, which when it invades your mind, it is paralyzing. You know, God was so concerned about it. It is the most common commandment found in Scripture. Two words, fear not. Fear not. You know, Isaiah says, "Fear not." This is God speaking. "For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This fear is a universal deal. We all deal with fear. We all wrestle with it. Fear is always trying to invade your mind. You know, I like what the humorist Dave Barry said. He says, "All of us are born with this intrinsic fear. Fear of falling, fear of the dark, fear of lobsters, fear of falling on a lobster in the dark." You know. Yeah. He says, we fear speaking before the Rotary Club, and most people fear the words, "some assembly required," you know. So before we jump in, I want to clarify that not all fears are bad, all right? There's a good kind of fear. That's the stuff that helps us survive. Good fear teaches us to respect appropriate boundaries. It alerts us if there's real danger ahead. And for instance, good fear keeps a kid from touching a hot stove. You know, it sets off that alarm in you. Something's dangerous, possibly destructive, you know, and it's that warning sign. Bad fear, when it invades, it paralyzes you from doing what you ought to do. You know, bad fear is a distorted fear. It's an exaggerated fear. You know, bad fear is out of touch with reality. It's accompanied with a sense of worry and anxiety. And so there's good fear and bad fear. That's what I want to be clear about here. But I would say for the most part, because of the number of commands that are found in Scripture, that the fear that most people struggle with is not good fear. You know, it's what messes us up. It's the fear that threatens to keep people from trusting God, from obeying God. And there are really two mindsets for living. One is based on faith. You can trust God. You can trust God's goodness and power. You can live with a sense of confidence. Or you can have a mindset that's based on fear. You know, I'm on my own. something really bad's going to happen. What if, what if, what if? And I think there's this illusion that many people buy into, you know, that there's, we have a challenge, you know, a difficult situation, and that's what produces fear. And in fact, over and over in Scripture, it says this isn't so. That it's not the circumstance that we struggle with, because Scripture talks about this over and over. You can have two different people face the same situation, but have different responses. You know, I think about a young shepherd boy by the name of David, and he brings supplies to his brothers. His brothers are serving in the Israeli army. They're on the front lines. David sees what everybody else sees. They've got this great champion of their enemies, the Philistines, this giant of a man named Goliath. And Goliath, this guy could have been like WWE kind of thing. I mean, he's huge, he's mouthy. And he would come out every day and he would mock God's people and he'd mock God. And he would challenge anybody, come fight me. And the Israeli soldiers were terrified. They didn't want to challenge him. Fear had them paralyzed. And David sees the same situation, but David confronts Goliath. And of course, many times we know the story. He gets the slingshot, he defeats the giant, but it's two different perspectives on things. They're facing the same situation, the same challenge, the same enemy, but one gives in to panic and fear. And the other one, well, he faces the situation. He has peace and confidence. And I think, well, what's the difference here? It's not the situation. It's not the circumstance. It's the mindset. See, this thing's powerful. The most important determination of whether you live by faith or fear, it's your mindset up here. Your mindset makes all the difference. Your mindset will determine how you respond to absolutely everything and every challenge in life. Your mindset is a faith issue. I want to suggest to you, your mindset is everything. What you think up here, well, that mindset has to do with the proportion of things, the ability to look at a situation and sort out the majors from the minors or the significant from the trivial in life. And unhealthy fear is the product of a skewed mindset. What's bouncing around up here? You know, in Scripture, when God says, fear not, it's rarely about sparing someone from a challenging situation. Usually, when God says, fear not, he's asking them to take a step of faith, usually a step they don't want to take. And so when God calls people to these extraordinary acts of obedience, it's really challenging your faith. It's a risky faith. Generally, it all comes down to, will you go and do what you need to do, or will you have fear and not do it? You know, when God says, trust me, I believe the number one factor that keeps us from faithfully following God is fear. What if? What if? You know, what if? You know, fear keeps us from being fully obedient. It keeps us from completely surrendering, giving God 100%. And let's just be clear, we all deal with fear on some level in some areas of our lives. And most fear comes from our desire to control things. Anybody try and control things out there? I mean, we fear what we can't control. And just FYI, you're delusional if you think you're controlling things. You are. One of life's most common fears that invades people's brains is the fear of loss, the fear of losing something that's really important to you, not being able to hang on to it. And the what ifs weigh, don't they? You know, what if my spouse leaves me? You know, what if something happens to my child? You know, what if the markets turn? What if I lose my job? What if this happens? You fill in the blank, but it's the what ifs. It's a fear that things are going to take a turn for the worst, that you won't be able to hold it together. And when fear invades, what if, what if, what if, fear has taken up residency. And friends, when that happens, well, watch out. We all battle with fear. You know, another fear I believe many battle with is fear of failure. You know, we fear that we're inadequate, we're going to try and do something or take that step, and we're afraid we might fail, that it might not work out. We feel a prompting, for instance, to reach out to someone, maybe a neighbor or a friend, and to have a serious conversation with them about something. But fear holds you back. You know, some of you have dreamed about going back to school or starting a business, but fear has you paralyzed. And so you just think about it, but you don't do anything. You don't move. You don't even try. Why? Because you might fail. You know, another fear that gets in our brain, and we struggle with this one, the fear of rejection. Some of you are afraid. You're afraid to ask somebody out. Why? Well, they might laugh at you, turn you down. Some of you are afraid to have a conversation with your spouse because you're afraid if you did, they might leave you. You know, some of you are afraid to challenge a friend because you're afraid the conversation won't go well. Some of you even afraid to pursue a promotion at work because, well, what happens if they reject me or I don't get the position? Some of you are people pleasers. And so you live with this, I want everybody to like me. That's fear-driven, you know. That fear will spill into every area of your life. If you're like, oh, I got to please people, you know, will they like me? You know, will they like what I wear? Did they like what I said? You know, did they like the decision that I made? And so what happens is you worry and you fret, you know, what people are going to think. Fear of rejection, it's a huge one. It's a huge one. It's real. It's active. And there's one more, and that's the fear of the unknown. You know, this fear is very daunting. Again, it's what if I get a bad medical report? You know, what if I lose my job? What if the markets take a turn? What if something happens to somebody I love? You know, so this fear, it's crushing. You know, in fact, I would argue for some of you, fear's holding you captive, and it owns you. Some of you are stuck in a bad situation, you know, maybe abusive relationship or some dead-end job or, you know, some destructive pattern in your life. And the fear's so consuming that you are just struggling. You know, in fact, you would rather remain in a known bad situation than venture out. You know, you want out of the situation, you want to make a change, but fear's held you captive. Some of you, things are going great for you right now. In fact, they're just humming along. But the what ifs, what if, robbing you. It's robbing you. The fear's so consuming, you don't enjoy the present Why? Because you're afraid of what might happen in the future. You can't even enjoy what you have right now because you're worried about what might happen. It's a terrible place to be, worrying about the future, worrying about the struggles. What if, what if, what if, what if? Friends, fear is prevalent. And especially, you think about these uncertain, very turbulent times, the fear's kind of amplified right now. Paul says this to Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." Fear is not from God. Fear is from your spiritual enemy because he wants to mess your life up. God is the source of everything that's good. You know, our all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful God did not give you a spirit of fear. And yet too many people live their lives consumed by it. You know, people live their lives and they worry and they're anxious and they're uptight and they're fretting everything that comes along. They're overwhelmed by life because of fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And I pray that you stop living in fear because God has a better way for you. You know, I hear people once in a while, they'll say, you know, fear is the opposite of faith. And I tend to disagree with that. And granted, I'm going to get really technical here. But fear, I believe, is all about faith. It's just faith in the wrong things. Stay with me here, all right? What's fear? Fear is placing your faith in the what ifs, the what if this doesn't work out? What if, you know, the economy crashes? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? You know, what if my spouse cheats on me? What if, you know, my kid gets hurt? What if I can't do this? What if I never get married? What if we can't have kids? What if, what if, what if, what if? It is an atomic invasion that'll mess you up. You ever notice how people generally don't go, well, what if something really good happens? I mean, with the exception of a few misguided people getting lottery tickets, and they go, you know, what if I win? Everything will be great, you know. We'll give our tithe to God. We're going to solve world hunger, and on it goes. But rarely do people think, what if something great happens? Fear will keep you captive. The what ifs will own you. You know, your fear will reveal where you trust God the least. So I ask you this morning, what's your greatest fear? I want you to think about that for a moment, because we all have them. I mean, in what area are you not trusting God? I mean, is it your marriage? Is it with your kids or your grandkids? Is it vocationally, financially? You know, is it with your health or an aging parent, or is it about the future? Where are you not trusting God these days? Everybody identifies something. And what I want to do is get real practical, because God has a better way for you to live with that. You know, first you got to acknowledge your fear. You've got to own it, whatever it is. In other words, you can't brush it off and pretend, la, 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 nothing's going on, everything's great, this isn't really happening. You know, you can't look at life like that. It just doesn't work. But whatever you fear, you own it. And then whatever you can do to effectively minimize the situation, minimize the risk, to make the situation as stable as you possibly can, you do that stuff. You got to do it. But then you make a choice. And with every bit of faith that you can muster in your life, you go, God, I'm going to trust you with this, whatever this is. You know, David, he was appointed to be king of Israel when he was young. And the problem was Saul was still the king. And Saul started feeling threatened by David. And there's a point where he starts despising David. In fact, to the point that he orders the army to hunt David down and kill him. And I think when we read the story, we kind of downplay David's situation. Because again, we know the ending. And so we go, oh yeah, yeah, so David's on the run, okay, he's under a little heat. Imagine you're David for a minute. Every force, every agency in the country is coming after you. They're hunting you down. Every news stream, they're showing your picture. They're spotting your location. You know, the tip line is offering a huge reward for information that leads to them finding you. The full weight of the government is leveraged against you. Fear. That would be fearful. They're going to hunt me down and kill me. David writes this. He says, be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long, they're pressing their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In my pride, many are attacking me. Do you hear it there? That's the reality that David was dealing with. Fear had invaded David's brain. You know, his enemies are in hot pursuit, attacking, pursuing, day and night. They're after him. It's relentless. It doesn't quit. And so what's David do? And I love David's honesty when he writes God, you know, these beautiful words that we've come to just love. But he says this in Psalms 56. He says, when I'm afraid. See, he had fear. In fact, this fear is a lot. You know, it's consuming to him. But then David makes a choice. He says, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. So he steps into this. He says, I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Interesting little question there, isn't it? What can they do to me? Well, I can think of all kinds of things. They could kill you, David. They could capture you. They could torture you. They could imprison you. They could make his life pretty awful. That's what I think. But David has shifted his thinking. And he's shifted from the temporary to an eternal perspective. David rises above the fear with God's help. You know, if I choose to trust God, ultimately, from an eternal perspective, my enemies are powerless. They can't do much. David takes on the invasion. He acknowledges that he's got fear, but after he assesses the situation, the reality of what he's going through, ultimately it catapults him. It translates into faith for him. You know, if I choose to trust God, if I put my faith in God, if I hold nothing back from God, give God my full heart, suddenly the what ifs, well, friends, they pale in comparison to God's goodness, to what God promises us in eternity. I challenge you to be honest about your fears. You know, just say, God, here are my fears. This is the stuff that's eating me up. I'm going to trust you no matter what. Friends, the closer you get to God, the more you'll trust God. That's a big problem. You can't trust what you don't know. And the less you will fear the things in this world when you get closer to God. Acknowledge your fear. It's a step of faith. But it's a mindset where you come to a point and you go, God, no matter what happens, no matter how this turns out, I trust you. Trust God, period. Then you continue seeking God, running after God, relentlessly pursuing God. You know, seek God, like in worship today, we're seeking God. It's important. It gives you courage, brothers and sisters encouraging. You know, you seek God in just spending time in God's word and scripture in the Bible. You seek God through prayer and meditation. And just to break meditation down, that's when you shut your mouth and you listen and sense what God may be trying to tell you. But you talk to him day and night. Talk to him through the day. You know, it doesn't always have to be the formal, you know, prayer at the supper table. It's just a conversation when you're driving down the road. Tell God what's going on. Tell God what's on your heart. And till you can overcome your fear. And friends, this is critical. You know, it's life-changing stuff when you continue to seek God that way. David's being pursued. Saul's army's after him. And David, he records these words. Now, you need to know they come early in the psalm, but he actually wrote them after the situation, which makes it a little complicated there. But Psalms 34, he says, I sought the Lord, and he what? And? Delivered me from all my fears. I want you to think about that. I sought God, and he delivered me. Fear no longer had a hold on him. Again, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears, not some of my fears, all my fears. You know, with God, all things are possible. It is possible to live without fear in life. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and good intent, okay? I want to say that before I share. But they were worked up. And they were worked up about the direction that the country's going, and fear had invaded them. And it was real apparent to me as I listened to them that it had captured their mind. You know, and it was a lot of what if, you know, what if this country, you know, is going the wrong direction? What if it collapses, you know, politically and economically? What if it all comes undone and we wake up one day and we don't have the United States as we know it? And I could tell after they got done that they wanted me to respond somehow. And I just said this, very simple. I'm thankful God's still on the throne. He still reigns over everything. You know, I find great comfort knowing that God is still God. He's in control of everything in my life and your life. See, I understand fear. Sometimes I fear the future. But mine really has to do for me that I can't get everything done that I need to do. You know, all the stuff on my schedule and the demands. Honestly, sometimes I get a little overwhelmed. And when I feel that fear creeping in, I just have to take a breath and remind myself, God still reigns, God's in control, and God is enough to get me through whatever I need to get through. And when I see people overwhelmed with fear and doubt, and it's taken root, I always invite them somehow, some way, to rise above it by trusting God, focusing on God, and relentlessly pursuing God. You know, relentlessly. It's not, hey, God, help me with fear, and then forget about it the rest of the week. No, you got to pursue God. And what you find when you focus on God, God gets between you and fear. Becomes a buffer. You know, seek God. He will deliver you from your fears. Again, Apostle Paul, that scripture. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. It's not from God. It's from the evil one. It's from the world. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Do not let fear invade your brain. Resist, fight, and stay focused on God. Refuse to live in fear. I mean, with God, you can rise above the fear. Notice I didn't say the fear goes away, but you can rise above the fear. You can live knowing that you're in God's hands, that God is with you and for you, the God that created the universe, that created you, the God that loves you and wants the very best for you. That God wants the best for your life. I'm going to leave you with a piece of scripture. Some of you need to put this on, you know, in your phone, on your desk, the mirror when you get up in the morning. But Isaiah writes this: you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Anybody want peace? Trust God. Anybody want to overcome that fear? Trust God. Anybody struggling these days? Trust God. Anybody got some what ifs going on up here? Trust God. Fixate on God. Focus on God. God's the answer to getting through whatever you're going through. See, the problem isn't fear. The problem's letting fear own you. It's not a sin to be fearful. It's a sin to let fear own you. It will steal from you. It will cheat you. It will rob you blind. Fix your thoughts on God. And just trust Him. He's trustworthy. We could go around this morning and go, was there a time when you trusted God and God came through, and we could one after another go, yes, don't want to go through it again, but God did amazing things during that time. Trust God. Fix your eyes on God. Whatever the what if is, trust God. Fix your eyes on God. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, we give you our what ifs this morning. We all have them. And God, we're giving them to you, and we're going to trust you. And God, you give us strength to stay focused on you. And God, when you come between us and our fears, when we're able to rise above it, Lord, I pray that we would tell our families, we'd tell our friends what a wonderful, powerful, loving God we serve. God, forgive us when we let fear paralyze us to keep us from doing the things we ought to do. God, may we please you with what we say, what we do, but today, what we think. God, help us to win that battle. We give you the glory this day and every day. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said. There'll be prayer teams down front. God moves you. Bring your what if. You don't have to say, just go, I've got a what if. I need prayer this morning. They'll pray with you. That's a way of showing trust in God. It's a way of focusing on God. It's actually a way you could walk out of here this morning and leave the fear behind and start a new day out there. So let's stand. We're going to worship God together.